The thoughts, opinions, and ideas expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals participating in the conversation and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints or official stance of Leap Africa. The organization supports diverse perspectives and encourages critical thinking and open dialogue. Hi, everyone. Good day and welcome to another episode of the Youthful and Useful podcast by Leap Africa. My name is Bimile K, communications intern here at Leap Africa. And together with me today, I have
Tehema Nagabo, male coordinator here at Leap Africa.
And
Christiana Opalua, finance and admin intern, Leap Africa.
All right. So today's episode is a special one because it's in commemoration of Nelson Mandela Day, which is on July 18th. And so we're just going to be exploring the life of Nelson Mandela and trying to draw insights on his legacy to see how we can apply that to our lives as people and even potentially how others, other organizations can employ his values. So to start this off, so Tehimen, when you think about Nelson Mandela, what comes to mind?
Okay, so what comes to my mind is a very, very popular person, one of the most popular people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember growing up and watching TV, BBC, CNN, and you see Nelson Mandela, he's in America, he's in the UK, over there in Asia, he's been invited, people talking about him. And then my father would tell me that this is the man who fought for the freedom of South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up to become an adult, I also began to realize that this man from Africa is respected by the whole world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm, yes, that's true. On my part, I feel like I have a video in my head. I think Nelson Mandela was quite tall. And so there was there's this signature pose of him waving. I have it, the video in my head. I don't even know where that's from. But when I think about him, I'm in awe of the leader that he was and the strides that he achieved, because they weren't easy. So it's nice to know that his impact and popularity was beyond the shores of Africa, and he had like global impact.
That's right, that's right.
How about you, Christiana?
Okay, so when I think of Nelson Mandela, it feels like selfless leadership. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like he's one of those people that made social activism what it is right now. Like, he's one of those people that made it an actual job, right? But people that pioneer things, they basically bear the bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Because reading about him, I'm like, why did he have to go to prison for 27 years? Like, what he was trying to fight for was visible. It was clear. Like, it was basically fighting against racism, and it didn't make sense at that time. But it's funny to see that he has to now fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to go through all that he went through. Crazy.
Yes. I cannot even imagine, you know, being in his shoes, because like you rightly said, people who are pioneers usually they take the scars, and then when people like us come, maybe years after they've suffered, like Nelson Mandela did, being in prison for 27 years, we then walk the road. Just like I think his biography, Long Walk to Freedom, he walked that road so that it would be easier for young people like us who are interested in social change, mm-hmm. to walk that same road. So what Nelson Mandela did was like really big. Mm-hmm. I doubt that any one of us here wants to, you know, go that route and do something so grand. You know, I'm not sure we have that spirit in us. I feel like the people who can confidently do that and dedicate their entire lives to things like that are, I don't know, maybe one in a billion or something. But I think that there are valuable lessons we can extract from his life into our lives as just regular people who maybe are not advocating at the level that he was. So if, you know, a young person is remotely interested in making any kind of societal change,
yeah.
what lessons do you think they can draw from Nelson Mandela's life and legacy, Christiana?
Okay, so I had to do like a bit of reading because I'm like, I want to come and speak about him in depth. I don't like to know people from like shallow, from what. So one thing like that stood out for me was there was a pattern in his house. So everybody expected that he was going to grow up and become a traditional leader like his father. But the game changer literally started when he said, I want to be a lawyer. So he was the first person in his house that went to school and said, okay, I want to be a lawyer. And I feel like the ability to make that change from what people expected of him was just like the kickstart to every other vision that he had. So like, that's where I'll just start my point from. Like, making phenomenal change, making doing something exceptional, really starts from making a key decision that may not exactly look like what is popular. It wouldn't look like a previous pattern. Yeah, so like that's one major thing, like the fact that he went out of a line, he went out of a lineage, exactly. So I think that's just what every other thing just felt like somebody that's able to make that decision would rule other mind-blowing things. That's
That makes a lot of sense, you know. Particularly as Africans, we have really strong ties to our parents and their desires for us. And so breaking away from that mold was quite audacious, you know, because it could have gone south. And then he would be one of those people with, he would have been one of those people with failed dreams. And nothing hurts than your African parents giving you the I told you so lecture. You know, it's like, we get it. Yeah. We made a mistake, right? But then him making that decision to, you know, to go against the grain seems like, you know, the, like you said, the starting point. So for young people, it's important to say, sit down. There is what you're expected to be. There's what society wants you to be. Exactly. There's what your parents want you to be. And for the most part, they have good intentions, but there comes a point where you have to question yourself and say, exactly what do I want to be? Or exactly what do I want to do? How do I want to effect change that may not necessarily be, you know, what people expect of me? So that's a very good one. How about you, Tehime?
Okay, one thing that stands out for me that I feel young people can sort of emulate or learn from is determination. Because before he got to prison, he could have checked out of this thing. This, you know, trying to organize people to protest, to disobey several years and doing that, you know, for the fact that he stood on that path for that long and, you know, even sort of getting to the prison at some point, he felt, mobilizing people wasn't going to be enough and he sort of, you know, people started getting arms and all of that. It just shows, I'm not encouraging taking up arms, but it just shows that a person who is determined will eventually get results. And then staying in prison for 27 years will feel like it's over. Will feel like it's over. I mean, but after 10, 20, and then 7 years, almost 3 decades. That's almost like my whole life.
Exactly. Just think about it. You're in prison for your whole life.
Wow. That's it. And for the fact that he was released from prison and then contested elections, could have chosen to resign.
Yes, like I paid my dues. I've suffered for you people.
I don't want to do it again.
Yeah. To be honest, I think his speech after, like when he came out from prison, it was like a 15-minute speech. The first 4 minutes, people were just screaming. And like he couldn't even start the speech. And I felt like what level of popularity, even like president and all of that, would be happy to get that amount of popularity. But he still felt like there was a need to give back. So pretty amazing.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. So make a key decision, decide, you know, what you want to do. And be determined. For me, I would say that it is important to ask yourself, like, you know, see, what is my place in the world, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Living life can be so mundane because, to be honest, we are literally doing the same things every day. It's rinse, mm-hmm. repeat. If you do something mind blowing, if you, oh, you say that, oh, I'm going to go out today and do X, Y, Z, that's out of the norm. What's mm-hmm. normal is you wake up, you get ready for work, you go to work. When you're done, you go back home, you sleep, and boom, next day. Right? Honestly. And so life can seem like it's without meaning when you keep, because of how repetitive it can be. But then asking yourself, you know, what do I want to attach my sense of meaning to? I think is also very important, because you still see like people who have done so much for themselves, billionaires, they have corporations, they have so much money. And a lot of them today are philanthropists, because at the end of the day, when you make the money, what are you going to use it for? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, no matter how rich you are, you can only sleep on one bed. You can't be floating from bed A to bed B at night, right? So when it comes to social change, I think maybe look deep into yourself when it comes to maybe your experiences. So for instance, someone who grew up in an underprivileged background and maybe couldn't go to good schools, you know, sometimes the pain points you experience are it's actually the entryway for, you know, the pathway for you to say, okay, you know what, this is what I want to change. Yeah. So yeah, that's, you know, there's so many things you can say about him and, you know, his values and how we can apply them. But again, I feel like all this can seem really abstract because, I mean, he's late now, yeah. right? But then this is Nigeria, so you can't say you're fighting racism, right? Yeah, so yeah. What can young people do? Like, if you say you want to do social change, you don't have so much money, mm-hmm. you know, you don't. So, for instance, Sleep Africa is an NGO, it's funded, it has partners. What can the regular 20-something-year-old on the road do to say, I am giving back to my community?
Okay. Christian. So I'll actually pick it up from what you said, that as individuals, our pain points are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just use myself as an example. So I grew up in a community that, you know, when they say that it's not only one person that trains a child.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of... There are a lot of people that contribute to the upbringing of a child, and that's the kind of place I grew up. So every summer coaching, there is a church fellowship,
mm-hmm.
not like fellowship, there's a church lesson, mm-hmm. and that literally made me to meet different kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like my earliest vision of who I want to be, of the person I wanted to be when I grew up, right, wasn't even from my immediate surrounding. It was the opportunity that my community gave me. And I saw people when I go for computer coaching, summer coaching, and person's teaching me. And this person's like, oh, you can be this, you can be that. Mm-hmm. I remember the first person I had that was the chartered accountant. She was young. And she was also doing an MBA at that time. And I was like, wow, like, this is so nice. So I remember that she was just giving back to her society by coming to teach me
mm-hmm.
during her summer break.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my earliest vision, right? And okay, it became a point of pain for me because I knew that when things, programs like that come in, coachings like that, guys are the ones that attend, like the girls are at home, they're just doing something for their mom mm-hmm. and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just because of the way my parents were, like that was why I was not forced to sit at home and just be there. So I was able to participate in those kind of things, and I decided that, I also realized that when girls participate, we usually outshine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I realized that in all the summer coaching I went, if I was interested, I was going to be a star girl. And I'm like, imagine how many girls can be here
mm-hmm.
doing amazing things, but there's just this restriction. And it was surprising because, like I said, the community wasn't against other people training you.
Mm-hmm.
So why were girls not outside? Why were girls not doing so many amazing things? And then when I want to be inspired, it's always a girl. So personally, there was just this spirit in me like, okay, I want to do something to the female child because we have that ability. We have that nature of nurturing in us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you give a woman something, there's an ability to just grow that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was something that was a point of pain for me. And to be honest, like after then, when I got into university and even right now, through like my social media platforms, communications that I'm able to have with people, the moment I see that it's something about developing and empowering women, I'm like fully interested. So I don't have to do that. Like right now, I may not have the capacity to do that on a global scale. I may not be able to talk to 3,000 women in one room. But when I go to somewhere, like when I live somewhere, I look for a woman in that community that would need a word of encouragement that I can show a certain amount of love to. And I know that this person would, I will nurture this person into what I see that she can be, right? And the moment I just basically passing the baton, the moment I do that for her, I've passed something to her and she's able to give that to another person. And like, I just believe that we keep passing the baton and that's how... That's how everywhere get breaks, basically.
That makes a lot of sense because like you said, a lot of people don't have the financial resources to do something on such a large scale that impacts everyone. And so sometimes when we think about social change, we think of massive ideas and so a lot of people are discouraged because they don't have the platform or resources to do that. But you know, it's good to know that even if it's just one person, right, that you say, you know what, for instance, I'm in the university, but there's this one girl in my neighborhood, and I'm saying, and who's like maybe in SS2 or something, like I want to coach this girl to say, yes, you can do well in your wife, you can do well in your jam. Oh, so what do you want to study? Let's help you make that choice. You have actually done something, because the thing is, when we help people or cause change for just one person, no man is an island. So that girl most likely has a family. She most likely she has parents, has siblings. And so it's a ripple effect. And so even if it's just one thing you're able to do, technically, if not, you've not done just one thing, the value blooms. And so that's really great. How about you, Tehima?
Okay, so what I would say is start by asking yourself, what can I do to help someone? What can I do to make others' lives better? And you will get an answer because I feel you have something to offer. It doesn't matter if you have a job or you don't have a job. It doesn't matter if you are rich or you are not rich. It doesn't even matter about your possession or the kind of, the amount of education that you have acquired. There is something that you can give right there where you are. So what I say is right there where you are, ask yourself, what can I do? And then this reminds me when I, in 2017, when I was a core member in Taraba State, I was posted to a government school. And I asked myself, what can I do for these people? And a couple of things were coming, big, lofty ideas, construction, building, you know.
With your Alawi.
Construction. Like, I'm not rich. I'm just trying to get
back. At that time, it was like 1980.
Yeah, that's right. And so I sort of beat everything around and I said, okay, I'm going to gather a group of students. I'm going to teach them how to express themselves, because I saw that students were quite brilliant, but that expression, that channeling their ideas outside was a problem. So I trained them on the art of public speaking. I played them my favorite TED talk. They watched, so got inspired. And then we identified the problem that there was, that they were going to talk about. That was exam practice. Very, very prevalent in that community.
Yeah, right.
And then I drafted a few questions for them, let them develop their answers. And they had their own moderator, they had panelists. And so we came out on the assembly ground. Principal allowed us, look at students dissecting the different courses of exam practice up to the parents and the, you know, the government level. That was like, wow. And you know, the whole school was inspired. After that, everybody wanted to come. Uncle, me too, I want to do. So you see, that sort of inspired them. They wanted to do something. They wanted to be seen.
Of course.
And so that project cost nothing. It cost nothing. Mm. But then I was going out there looking for money, asking people to support, and no one was really willing to support. Mm. At some point, I felt bad and I said, you know what? I don't really need money to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can do some good without money, you know. Mm. So I sort of just did it and it played out well. Mm. So sometimes we just need to ask ourselves what we can do with what we have, with the little that we have, and it will definitely go far.
Yeah, that's a really solid point, especially because, you know, again, there's just this thing in us as people where we want to do something grand.
Yeah.
And we think of big visions. But then we don't look to what is already in our hands.
Yeah.
Like, you're already a core member. You already had education and exposure that these children didn't have. And that wasn't the first thing that came to mind. You probably looked and said, this is a dilapidated classroom. Let me renovate it. But there's no way you can do that with your 98 Alawi. That's just, you're barely surviving, you know? And that's, I can relate to that particularly because while I would say that, you know, my mom ensured that my siblings and I had really good education. I went to school in the North, the Federal University of Technology, MENA, and after leaving school, it just became really clear to me that I had missed out on a lot of opportunities because of where my school was. Mm. And sometimes you can say, we don't have enough jobs in Nigeria. But the truth is that sometimes even the opportunities that are available, people don't even know that they exist.
Yeah, yeah.
And so because I'd experienced that, because I would come out of school, I'm saying ISEC, I'm saying JA, I'm like, what is all
this? JCI.
I'm like, I think there was even JCI, but I don't even know why I didn't pay attention to them. I'm like, what's all this? Yes, or maybe scholarships, people want to go study abroad. I would see if my friends getting scholarships, I'm like, from where, you know? And I'm like, I'm not smart enough to receive, you know, get any of these scholarships. But, you know, there was one, somebody I knew got a scholarship and I was like, this person, not out of spite, but like, I know this babe now. If she can get, me too, I can get, right? Yeah. And so that even, you know, motivated me to, you know, to actually actively look for these resources, to look for channels and platforms where these opportunities are shared. And I asked myself, how can I help? Because what I used to do then was that after school, I would know some people who are really good. And then I'm like, you're jobless. And I'm like, you're jobless. How? I know you to be like a really smart person. Mm-hmm. And so I would be sharing opportunities with them individually. Mm-hmm. And I know that just thinking randomly, I probably helped like maybe 7 to 10 people or more get jobs. And so something came to me one day. I was like, why don't you just create a platform for this? And I was thinking, you know, before we build websites, before you build the community, Kineko, one day I was just like, what happened to WhatsApp? You know, WhatsApp is free. All you need is data.
Yeah.
And so, like a joke, I just put it there. I was like, anybody that wants to join should join. And right now, there are about 300 people there.
Wow.
And all I do is look for opportunities and post it there. Like, I can't tie your hands to get you to apply or to put in your best application.
Right.
But the point is that I wanted to do something I can't employ 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm even, you know, we're even looking for getting the best employment, right? But then I can, you know, at least try to connect people to the resources and assist them and the opportunities. So that's really, really key. You know, you don't need money to effect change. That sounds counterintuitive and counterproductive.
Right, that's
but you don't. That's an entirely different topic. But you don't. Definitely. You know, for young people, we need to ask ourselves: what do we already have? Whether it's skills, whether it's talents, whether it's connections, network that you have. You know, to effect change. So, with all this, it can sound like we want young people to just shoulder responsibilities that are not necessarily theirs. Like, why can't I just flex? Why do I have to be bothering about young children who can't articulate themselves? You know? Because there are many of the things that we talk about, they're like, isn't it the government's responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
Why should I care? So, you know, if you know, young people are listening to this, they're watching and they're like, why? Right. Why should you care about these people are just
motivating us.
You know, like giving us ginger. For what? Why should you care?
So I use Twitter a lot. And one day I saw something. The person said, every NGO is basically benefiting from, I'm paraphrasing now, but it's more like every NGO, every person that is coming out, they are doing something for the community, is just benefiting from a faulty government.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it, it made so much sense, to be honest. And I think you already mentioned it. If certain structures were in place in this country, would not be having some kind of NGOs, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, like you mentioned earlier, when all is said and done, when all is eventually said and done, what would give you a sense of achievement in life is not actually how many clothes you have now put in your wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
This may look very aspire to Maguire. So I'm Gen Z and we used to quickly get tired of this kind of stuff. Why are you motivating me? But the truth is that I tell people, you have to get to a point where your life is more than now, right? Your life has to be more than what is happening around you and how you feel today, right? And like, that was one thing that Nelson Mandela understood. Because when I was reading about him, it was like different presidents were coming and going and they were making negotiations. Mm-hmm. Oh, just drop this thing. We're going to give you a better life. Like, I actually just played this scenario in my head. And every time he refused their negotiation, they put him in like worse places. Like in that 27 years, he wasn't in one prison that you'd be like, okay, in that prison, he already became a big boy. There was one time that he was in solitary confinement. It was just him. He lost his eyes. He has to use a particular kind of glasses to see and everything. And that just meant that when he changed prison, he was basically starting again.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And I could just imagine, okay, you are saying that you can't do anything from where you are. And you literally have 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So I have like a slight idea of what happens in prison because I have somebody that works there. And this thing that we're saying that this every day we're just living the same life is worse. Those people have when they wake up. They have when everybody's supposed to go and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't feel like sleeping, everybody sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
They have when they eat lunch and somebody was still there looking for how to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And what I just want to say is like, you have to get, as a person, you have to get a conviction that you can live and die for.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only thing, that's the only reason why people won't be able to buy you out.
Mm-hmm.
Because every day, somebody is buying you out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically, tell him, you have these tasks to do. Mm-hmm. I have these tasks I want to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to talk you into leaving what is important to you to do what is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, I feel like every day you have conversation with people and they are basically buying you out of your own dreams and your own vision.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So all of this just comes down to the fact that as individuals, we have to get something that keeps us going, a drive.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing has to just be in us. And that is what is basically going to push us, because from what you said, not everybody is going to be as phenomenal as all over the place as it was, because trust me, his life was giving giving Indian fame. You know, somebody's jumping and they are flying over buildings. Yeah. But all of this just showed me that everybody has the ability to do something great in them.
Mm-hmm.
But every day, people are selling that dream, are selling that goal, just because we are thinking about it now.
Just the now. That's really powerful. Delayed gratification is so hard. And no gratification at all is even worse. Because we tend to do things that would benefit us. Like you can extrapolate and say this is X, Y, Z. Especially you can count the benefits in Naira, you know. But for things like social change, a lot of times even the benefit isn't necessarily instant, and a lot of times the benefit is not even directly towards you, right? If you host a webinar and teach people how to write CVs, you're not the one getting the job. Yeah. You know, you could literally do that and still be struggling in your job
to get a job.
Yeah. Or even, you know, having problems in your career, but then someone else would take your training and then they would progress. So, we need to ask ourselves, you know, we need to live beyond the now. And then even in developed worlds where you have, like, you know, stronger governments and all that, you still have people making change because it's just the way the world is. Right. If you had the best government, there will still be issues. And as much as the government tries, not everything can be addressed. And at the end of the day, when we talk about democracy, democracy is about the people having power.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the government of the people, for the people, by the people. The people have the power. And so the people are the ones who cause change. Tehimen, do you have any final words?
Okay, so what I would say is that, just like you said, it's a human thing to want to volunteer, to want to give back, to want to give. And, you know, before democracy was invented, I mean, this has been happening. People have been helping other people. And research shows that people who connect with others in their community, they sort of have a better well-being, better mental health, and even they experience more fulfillment. So I guess is that thing that we cannot fully explain why people do it, but it's something that we are going to be seeing for a long time. So it's much, much better to give. And it's a noble thing to do.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tehimen. Do you have any last words, Krishna?
You know, I think I'll just wrap it up with his leadership style. I see that he had a very different one. So just a reminder again that you don't have to do what is popular. Yeah, he was one of those leaders that, he was the one that made being a leader but having love for people popular. So you are doing something for somebody and people literally have to question that, what is it for you? Because you are not even directly affected by this. He was an elite, in quotes, for the people that he was fighting for. So he didn't need to do that. So this is just like me to somebody. You may not need to do that. To be very honest, you're sitting there like, I honestly don't need to do that. But the truth is, in the long run, you are able to contribute to something way bigger than you. And that should be like your drive. That should be your job.
Thank you so much. This has really been an insightful conversation. And I hope that everyone watching has, you know, learned one or two things and see that everyone and anyone can indeed champion social change from whatever corner of the world that you're in, with no matter how much money you have or don't have. It's all something. When we come together, there's a spirit of togetherness that comes with trying to better the world that we're in. And there's also the immense sense of fulfillment that we get from doing good. So thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your day.